Good morning. Today's daf is Tanis Yud Beis. We are on the very last words of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're starting with Amar of Chista this morning, and we are in the first round of Tanis Sibur, so public fast days. The Mishnah taking us all the way back to Yud Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah goes on to describe how if by a certain date rain doesn't come, so at this point in time we move from positions of slight concern to a lot more concern. The Mishnah back on Yud Amud Aleph describes that by the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, where rain doesn't come, so at that point in time, individuals take upon themselves to fast. The fasting, the rounds of fasting that we're going to be describing these next couple of days are always going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. In other words, we call them three fasts, but they're going to be done on the Yemei Hadin. The Yemei Hadin are Monday and Thursday, and so therefore it's going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. So the first round, let's not even call it a round, the first wave of fasting is done by individuals. That's the Tanis Yechidim, and then we spent the last couple of days talking and describing a little bit more about this Tanis Yachid, about this individual fast day and the people accepting upon themselves an individual fast day, but it's not a public fast day. Then the Mishnah went on to describe how they're going to be public fast days, and that in the Mishnah in Daf Yud Amud Aleph described the first round of those fast days. So you can eat the night prior, you're allowed to work, there are none of the Inuyim, so they are quote-unquote a little bit lighter in terms of the severity of what we have to take upon themselves on these first rounds of public fast days. Later today, when we get to the Mishnah at the end of today's daf, so we're going to be intensifying the fast days with round number two, and then subsequently round number three, which are coming up later in the Mishnayos, in today's daf. The Gemara has up until now been discussing, and we're going to continue discussing, an individual taking himself upon himself a fast day. What is going to be the nature of that fast? What are the hours in which he has to fast? Is there such a thing as doing, like, let's say, for example, a half fast day? So that's some of the topics that we discussed yesterday. We're going to continue discussing today. Amar of Chista. So with that, we start with the Gemara on the very bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Ha da Amar Misan L'Shaos. This idea that you're Misan L'Shaos. So if you recall, in yesterday's daf, this issue was bounced around, discussed. The Gemara's conclusion is that you are Misan L'Shaos, that you can, in fact, fast for just simply half a day. But the Gemara now is going to seek clarification. What does that mean you're fasting for half a day? V'hu shalotam klum ad erev. So what that means to say is that you're going to be fasting till the end of the day. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand what you're saying. Amalei abai, hatan is mal yasuhu. Do you know what we call that? We call that a fast day. Meaning if, in fact, you fasted now the entire day, so why are we calling that a tanis shos? Meaning you're telling me that the requirements of a Tanis Shos is that you have to fast the second half of the day, and we're assuming that you fasted the first half of the day, and I'll explain better what that means in just a moment. But if in fact you do that, you fast the first and second half of the day, so we will now call that a fast day. So the Gemara says, L'shicha de'im l'chamluche. So to which the Gemara says, well, no, what happened was the following, and that is, and this is Rashi's explanation. You woke up in the morning. Okay, yeah, you skip breakfast. Okay. I've been told it's not a good thing to do, right? I don't have an opinion. So you skip breakfast. And then what happens is you're right around lunch. You got really busy that day. You're right around lunchtime. You had no intention whatsoever. You did not have in mind, that you were going to fast. But meanwhile, it's already early afternoon and you say to yourself, you know what? Ah, good. Wonderful. So at that point in time, you say, I'm just going to finish off the day in a fast day. That, under those circumstances, that's what Rav Chista meant. That is a situation, that's a scenario in which it qualifies as both half a fast day and meanwhile you ended up not eating the whole day. Rashi points out over here that if all you did is just simply go the morning without eating, that's nothing, right? Even if you accept upon yourself, I'm going to go the whole morning without eating, that's nothing. Meaning that's just simple, normal human behavior. People do that all the time. That cannot qualify as a fast day. Even as we say that Misan L'Shaos, that you can fast for half a day, it's only going to be the second half of the day. And it's only going to be under the circumstances where, haphazardly, absentmindedly, you ended up fasting the first half of the day. And so ultimately, you went through the whole day of fasting. And now the Chiddush, which is really now muted, it's a muted Chiddush. So now that means that you ended up fasting the whole day, but because you weren't intent on fasting the first half of the day, so therefore it's called Tanis L'Shaos. That's the statement to Rav Chista. V'am Rav Chista. On a related note, Rav Chista says, Kol Tanis Shelo Shaka Lav Chama Lav Shmei Tanis. Tanis by definition means that you have to be fasting until sunset. Okay, there are technical discussions to be had over here. I'm just going to raise them. I'm not going to really discuss it. And that is from our Gemara. It sounds like the fast ends at Shkiyas Achama. It ends at sunset. Meanwhile, we do wait till nightfall. We wait till Tzeis. So, okay, that deserves its own discussion. I just raised awareness. In the meantime, however, fast has to end at night, meaning there's no such thing as fasting, let's say, morning. Right? Again, it's related to the previous point that if you just fast half the day, meaning the first half of the day, so halachically, that is nothing. Okay, so what we just learned together is that in order for a fast to qualify, so it has to go and complete the whole day up until sunset. Meisvei the Gemara challenges with a brisa. Anshei Mishmar misanim v'lo mashlimim. So as far as the Anshei Mishmar concerned, now it happens to be in this very Masechta. In just a short couple of days from now, we're going to be discussing Anshei Mishmar in much greater detail. So right now, I'm not going to launch into an introduction in terms of who the Anshei Mishmar are. For our purposes right now, all you need to know is that they fast. Right? And details about who they are and what they're doing, the details to follow later in the Masechta. In the meantime, they fast. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that Misanin, they fast for Lomashlimim, but they don't have to complete the day. Meaning if at some point in the afternoon they're good and hungry, okay, so they can break fast. Okay, but what do you mean? What do you mean break fast? It's not a fast. Meaning why is the Braisa, why is the Mishnah calling it a fast when meanwhile they're eating in the afternoon? Didn't Rav Chisda teach us that a fast day, by definition, has to extend to Shkiyas Achama? So the Gemara says, "Hasam l'tzuri nafsha ba'amahu." So the Gemara says, "No, you misunderstand. The Mishnah does use the word tanis, but really the intent over there is that they're just simply accepting upon themselves to be mitzair, meaning they just want to be uncomfortable. Their intent is not to accept upon themselves a formal fast day. Their intent is just simply to accept upon themselves to be uncomfortable." And hey, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you haven't eaten, okay, so you're uncomfortable. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, we'll do this again. Da'amar Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadok, ani mivnei banav shel Sina ben Binyamin. So I'm from the family of Sina ben Binyamin. Again, we discussed this already a number of times. Here I will give a short introduction, and that is that at the building of the second base of Mikdash, so resources were really tight, and so, right, they had a supply chain issue. So the I'm current. So the the resources were really tight, and in terms of like basic resources for the base of Mikdash, so they were lacking. So there were a couple families that stepped forward and said, "We're going to be misnadev. We're going to donate." And those families were given significant recognition. And in fact, even as resources started coming in. And even as they no longer needed these private donors were still given special days of the year in which they're going to be donating to the Beis HaMikdash. So this family, right, Sinav ben Binyamin, so they were given a special date of the year. Oddly enough, interestingly enough, their date in which they donated was the 10th day of Av, right, the day following the 9th, obviously. The day in which they're given to donate, so that for them, for that family, is a personal yontif. It's a quasi-yontif day. Okay, now, here's what happened, and it's very simple. So, upamachas chal Tisha B'Av lios b'Shabbos v'dachin l'achar Shabbos. So what happened was is that Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, which is a pretty regular occurrence, and what happens, it's a nitcheh, it gets pushed off. So for the rest of us, okay, so Sunday now becomes the observed day of Tisha B'Av. That's easy. Question becomes, what about for this family? Now you have a conflict. You have now Tisha B'Av Nidcha, and you have their personal Yontif. So what do you do under those circumstances? So he testifies what he saw. V'saninu bo. So here's what we did. So we fasted. V'lo hishlimu. Mimneshi Yontif shalanuhu. But we didn't finish the fast day. So basically, we split the difference. We started fasting, but because it's a personal yontif for us, we didn't complete the fast day. Okay. So once again, the Gemara is bothered, meaning you're telling me that as a rule, a fast day is not a fast day unless you get to the end of the day. You fast until the end of the day. And meanwhile, over here, you have this family that is experiencing a personal yontif on the observed day of Tisha B'Av. And they basically went somewhere up until the afternoon, mid-afternoon, and then the eight. Okay, how does that work? So the Gemara says, "Asanam litzuri nafshe ba'amahu." So the Gemara says, "Look, they were uncomfortable." Okay, in other words, right at that point in time, they didn't have an obligation to fast per se. Meaning, this seems to be the Gemara's answer. They didn't have an obligation to fast per se. Their personal yontif is going to trump the fast day, even though, mind you, by the way, right, obviously it's a big chiddush, it's Tisha B'Av. But it's not actually Tisha B'Av, it's observed Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av for Shabbos. This is a nidcha. So fundamentally, their yontif is going to trump it. On the other hand, everybody else is fasting. Okay, so they didn't want to be, they didn't want to, like we discussed a couple days ago, they didn't want to give off the appearance that everyone else is fasting and they're really enjoying themselves. So, inochi imachem betzara. So to be part and parcel of the community, so they fast a little bit. But they didn't have to take on a formal fast day, and hence the compromise, in which they fasted a little bit, meaning sometime into the afternoon, however long they went, and then they ate. The fasting was just litzu'ure nafshe. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's do this now, round number three. Again, this is all an attack on Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that a fast day has to go till Shkias Achama. Anything less than that, it's not a fast day. So already two times over, the Gemara attacked Rav Chista. The Gemara has defended Rav Chista. And now round three. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, hey, betanis acheva levesi. So Rabbi Yochanan accepted upon himself the following. I'm going to be in fast until I get home. Right? And the Gemara is assuming that he got home sometime in the afternoon. Meaning, but at that point, and then when he get home, so he would eat. So what does that mean? Ehye betanis. I'm going to be fasting. That's not a fast. Fasting, according to Rav Chista, by definition means until Shkias Achama. What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Gemara's response is that there was a shul dinner. Okay, not exactly, but pretty close to it. In other words, then basically he wanted to bow out. And so he declined the offer of attending the Beis Nasi's dinner. And they asked him, okay, no, would you have an explanation? Oh, yeah, I'm fasting. Okay, now, right? It sounds slightly disingenuous, meaning, as we've now come to learn, he's not fasting, right? He's going to eat when he gets home. Okay, so, it's to create shalom between him and the Beis Nasi. And so, to create shalom, so the truth can be bent a little bit. But again, the Gemara says it's not a formal fast. That's the general point of the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Okay, so, up until now, first part of today's daf.
No.
It's a personal Kabbalah. Yeah. Okay. So up until this point in time, so we've dealt with a couple of statements of Rav Chista. One is that even as your Mesana L'Shal says has to be the second half of the day, coupled with the fact that you just happened not to have eaten the first half of the day. So that's then and only then is it considered a Tanis Shaos. And the second statement of Rav Chista is that fast days by definition have to extend to Shkias Achama. Anything earlier than that, it's not a fast day. Three times over, the Gemara challenged Rav Chista. Three times over, the Gemara defended Rav Chista. Next, Amar Shmuel. Kol Tanis Shelo Kiba Alav Mibo Yom Lav Shmei Tanis. So, Kabbalah Satanis. So we touched on this yesterday, more than touched on it. All right, the Gemara in yesterday's Amud Beis discussed this outright. And here now, a second round of this discussion. And Shmuel says that there must be a Kabbalah. In other words, before the fast actually begins, you have to accept it upon yourself. And again, these are all personal fast days, meaning a Tanit Sibor, so obviously doesn't need a Kabbalah. The communities accept upon themselves, so there's no need to make any kind of declaration of, I'm going to fast. You are. But over here, when it comes to a personal fast day, so as we're going to see over the course of today's daf, it's viewed like a neder. It's viewed like a personal voluntary offering, so to say. And so as such, there needs to be an affirmation, a Kabbalah. And when is that Kabbalah going to be done? So that's what Shmuel's teaching us. So kol tanis shelo kibal alav mibo yom lashmei tanis. So already before the day begins, there has to be a Kabbalah. V'yasev mai. Now let's say there was no Kabbalah and you fasted. So am rabba barashilo dam la mapucha damal yazika. It's like a bag full of wind. Meaning, halachically, it has no significance. Amos Mekabale, so the Gemara says, okay, let's pinpoint exactly when the Kabbalah should take place. Rav Amar B'Mincha, Rav says it has to be at Mincha. Now, you think Mincha means during, while you're saying Mincha, but as you'll see in just a moment, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat of Rav, when he says B'Mincha, means in the afternoon, at a time when it's appropriate to daven Mincha. How do I know that's the right Pshat in Rav? Well, first of all, Rashi, and secondly, look at the next line of the Gemara. Ushmul Amar B'Tfilas Mincha. And Shmuel says it's going to be when you're davening mincha. Meaning Shmuel's of the position that it's specifically when you're actually davening mincha. So, and Rashi points out over here, at the end, when you put in your personal petitions and requests, So at that point in time, that's the appropriate time now to be Mekabel Tanis. All correct. Meaning, right, if I'm sorry I wasn't clear about it, but yes, in other words, the day before you're actually fasting. In fact, Rashi writes over here in terms of Shmuel Shita that it's going to be the Mincha prior. It's, in other words, because it is proximate, meaning you're normally davening a Mincha sometime in the late afternoon. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim. When's the best time for Mincha? Should it be in the early afternoon? Should it be in the late afternoon? But Rashi over here assumes that we're davening Mincha in the late afternoon. So you're right up against where the fast is beginning. And so therefore, that's the most appropriate time to be Mekabel. I'm Rav Yosef Kavasi to Shmuel Mistabra. Rav Yosef says, I think Shmuel's right. I think the time for Kabbalah Satanis is going to be at Mincha in the late afternoon, meaning when you're davening Mincha. How do I know that he's right? Dichsiv, because it writes, because the following is stated by Megillas Tanis in Megillas Tanis, right? Go back to Gemara Rosh Hashanah not so long ago. So we went through a discussion in the Gemara whether or not Megillas Tanis is Batla or Lo Batla. And just as a quick refresher, what is Megillas Tanis? So that is a list of days where we had many miracles, if you will, and not so many miracles that occurred during Bayis Sheni, in which because of the miraculous nature of that particular day, so the Chachamim instituted that we're not allowed to fast on those days. Some of those days are really miraculous, you're not allowed to fast, and you're not allowed to eulogize, and those days are all recorded in Megillas Tanis. And there are, I don't have the stats for you right now, but there are numerous days that are enumerated in Megillas Tanis. And full disclosure, I've not gone through it. But the 2 days that we all know that are found in Megillas Tanis are Purim and Chanukah, right? Those are 2 days that made its way into Megillas Tanis in addition to a number of other days. The only days I know from Megillas Tanis are the ones that are recorded in the Gemara, right? On a number of occasions, the Gemara actually goes through some of the days, but only as part of a discussion, meaning we still have Megillas Tanis. And if you'd like, you can go through it inside. Anyway, it's historical accounting. Rashi writes over here, by the way, if you'll notice, the Gemara says, Dichsiv b'Megillas Tanis. It was written in Megillas Tanis. Usually the word Dichsiv is the language that we use when we're quoting Tanakh. Why does it say Dichsiv b'Megillas Tanis? So Rashi writes over here, it's really interesting. He says, because it's the only piece of Torah Shebaal Peh that was committed to writing, meaning obviously up until the time of the Mishnayos. So the everything else was Baal Peh. Everything else was oral transmission. So over here, you actually had, during Bayis Sheni, something that was committed to writing, formally committed to writing. That's why the Gemara uses the word dichsiv. Anyway, it says the following in Megillas Tanis. So after having gone through all the days which are quasi-yontifs, so it writes, now Megillas Tanis is written in Aramaic, because, as we've gone over numerous times, the spoken language in Eretz Yisrael, right, Eretz Yisrael, spoken language in Eretz Yisrael was Aramaic. And so this document was written in Aramaic. And Lahen kol inish yasi ilavei mikadma dana yeyaser. So any person who accepts upon himself a tanis is going to be bound yeyaser, is going to be bound by that tanis. And meaning that even though there was a conflict between the day that he accepted upon himself to fast and one of the days recorded in Megillas Tanis, and so the conflict obviously is that the fact that it's a day in Megillas Tanis tells me that he can't fast. The fact that he accepted upon himself to fast tells me that he should fast. Now, in a moment, we're going to be a little bit clearer in terms of what is going to trump what. But right now, we're reading a section of Megillas Tanis that says that his personal commitment to fast is going to trump any day in Megillas Tanis. Again, we're going to qualify that better in just a moment. But meanwhile, right now, the focus is on the word Yeyaser, Yud Yud Samach Resh. The Gemara now goes on to discuss, what does that mean? My love, Yeyaser Atzmo, Bitzilo. Yeyaser sounds like he has to do something proactively in order to effectuate the fast day, i.e. bitzilo in his davening. The word silo is davening, tzlusa. So in his davening, he must declare that he's going to fast. That is possibly what what that section of Megillas Tanis means. If that's right, and I understand that that is speculation, but if that's right, so then that would obviously be a support for Shmuel. The Gemara says, yeah, but you don't, it's only a possibility. Lo. Yeyaser atzmo. It could very well be that the right way to read Megillas Tanis is not yeyaser with two yuds, but rather yeyaser, which is not an active, but rather it's more passive, meaning he will be bound, i.e. he doesn't have to be doing it during Mincha. Any statement made anytime in the afternoon would be sufficient, and he's going to be bound by the he's going to be bound by his own personal neder. But there is no proof from Megillas Tanis necessarily that you have to be doing it during Mincha. Okay, so again, from a citation of the Gemara Megillas Tanis, so the Gemara thought that maybe we could prove Shmuel, right? The Gemara deflects. Pligi b'ha Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chad Amar Yaser, V'Chad Amar Yaser. The two ways that we just read Megillas Tanis is subject to Machlokas Tanayim. Man Damar Yaser K'damin L'man K'damrinan. The one who said Yaser, like we said, meaning that it has to be an active acceptance during your davening. And Man Damar Yaser Ma'hi D'Tanim B'Megillas Tanis. Now the one who says Yaser, not Yud Yud, but rather Yud Aleph. So how does that work? So the Gemara says, well, we're going to quote a larger section of Megillas Tanis. Called Inish Yesi Lavei. Any person who is on these Mikadmas Dina Ye Aser. Anyone who accepted upon themselves to fast and Mikadmas Dina prior to the day, to these days being recorded in Megillas Tanis. So Ye Aser, he will be forbidden, meaning he will be bound by his neder and he's going to have to fast. Ketzad. So the Raisa goes on to describe. So let's say the person makes a really long-term commitment to fasting. Every Monday and Thursday of this year, I'm going to fast. Yeah, what was right? Okay, so that's a serious commitment to fasting, and it's a year-long commitment. Now, and now, could be, probably will be, that one of those Mondays and Thursdays of the upcoming year are going to be in conflict with one of those days recording Megillas Tanis. So what do you do? So here's where I promised you, and here's where it is. The Gemara now is going to be specific about what's going to trump what. Im nidro kodem l'gzerasenu, yivtel nidros gzerasenu. Vim gzerasenu kodemus nidro, tivatel gzerasenu es nidro. So the Braisa of Megillas Tanis tells us that it's just a question of which came first. Remember, Megillas Tanis was a work in progress. In other words, real time. As events unfolded during Bais Sheni, so those events were recorded in Megillas Tanis. So now, if it happens to be that your neder preceded the event, the actual event, and its record in Megillas Tanis, so then your neder is going to trump the Megillas Tanis. If, however, Megillas Tanis was around before your neder, so then Megillas Tanis is going to trump your neder. Anyway, all this, but just to show that the word over here is not Ye Aser, but rather Ye Aser with an Aleph, right? If you looked at the beginning, so you see it's with an Aleph, not the Yud Yud, not the Ye Aser, as we said previously. Again, Machlokas amongst the Tanaim, exactly what is the wording of Megillas Tanis, which may speak to whether or not you're Mekabel in the afternoon in general, or you have to do so specifically in your Shmon Esrei. Tan Rabbanan. Ad Masai Ocha V'Shose, Ad Shiala Amod HaShachar. Divrei Rebbe. In these personal fast days, so you do not have to fast 25 hours. The fast starts in the morning, it ends in the evening. Good. Up until what point in time can you eat? So that's what the Braisa is going to be discussing. So according to Rebbe, you have up until Amud HaShachar. You have up until dawn to eat. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Amar, Ad Kor Segever, and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, when the rooster crows. Okay, good. So and Rashi assumes that that's an earlier period in the morning. Right. In other words, they know morning is coming even before morning actually comes. That's the bina of the sechvi. So Amar Abay Lo Shanu Ella Shlo Gamar Sudasa Vagamar Sudasa Ein Ochel. Okay. So right now the Gemara is qualifying and modifying. We've just said that basically for these fast days that are not 25 hours, so you can go ahead and fast up until the morning. The definition of morning is subject to a debate, but you can eat up until the morning. So let's say up until dawn. Right. That's the accepted halacha. So let's say like that. So you can eat up until dawn. What the Gemara now is bothered by, now we have Girsa issues over here, right? We have Amar Abayi on the side, according to the Rush, it's Amar Rava. Okay, anyway, it's going to be the same point. The Braisa says, I'm sorry, before we get to the Braisa. So Abaye says, I'm just going to work with our gears over here. That's only if you didn't finish your meal. But if you finish your meal, so eino ocha. So you no longer can eat. Meaning to say, the night prior to the fast day, so let's say you sat down for a significant meal, you want to load up, and now you finish your meal. So under those circumstances, Abaye's of the position, that's it. You're now, and it's nightfall, you're now bound by your fast. Even though we just learned you can eat until the morning. So Eisvei Rava Gamar Vamanari Zeocha. And meanwhile, Rava challenges based on a Braisa. And the Braisa says very clearly that even if I had a really big meal the night prior, and even though I conclude the meal, you could still eat, meaning the fast does not start until the next morning. So the Gemara says, awesome kishlosi, like, so the Gemara says, well, what we could suggest over there is that the Braisa is talking about where you didn't remove the tables, right? Remember back in the good old days? So you had your own private table, right? You had basically your TV tray table. So that's how people used to eat. And so, but the point is that you may have finished eating, but you didn't finish the meal. How do I know that? The table's still out there. Okay. So that's what the Braisa could be describing. Okay. Iga d'Amri, in a slightly different version of this discussion. Amrav lo shana lo kishalo yashan, aval yashan eino ochel. This idea that you can eat up until the morning is only if you didn't fall asleep. However, the moment you fall asleep, so at that point in time, we'll call it a hesach hadas. The Gemara doesn't use that terminology, but basically, it's at that point in time now you have resigned to the fact that you're starting your fast. So, Eishvei Abaye Yashan V'Amad Ariza Ochel. Meanwhile, Abaye quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa says that if you sleep but you wake up really early the next morning, you can go ahead and you can eat. So the Gemara says, Asam Bemis Namne. Nah, that Braisa is not talking about sleeping. The Braisa is talking about where basically you were semi-conscious. Hey, Chidami Misnamne, what does that mean? So, Amar Rav Ashi, you're going to hear this a number of times throughout Shas as we turn to the Amud Beis. Nim v'lo nim, tir v'lo tir, dekar v'le v'ani v'lo yada adure svara. So, what that means is that you are somewhere between awake and asleep. Okay, right. I can give numerous examples. I'm gonna pass. Okay. Anyway, we're familiar. So and just to translate the words better, v'ani v'lo yada adure svara. Meaning, if you call out to the person, he's going to be able to answer you. But if you're asking him to process and say something that requires real thought and real concentration, he's going to be unable to do so. But if you're talking in front of him, so then, okay, good. He can repeat what you're saying, but that's about it. So, okay, Adkan. So basically what we learned over the last, let's say, 10 minutes is that generally your fast days are going to be starting not the night prior, it's going to be starting morning of. Again, there are notable exceptions. We're familiar, Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, and also in a Mishnah upcoming, another time it's going to be an exception where the fast day starts the night prior. But most of the time, fast days start the morning of, and you can eat until the morning of. What we just did is throw in a couple of possible qualifiers. One is that, let's say, you had a really large meal the night prior, and you finish your meal. Does that signify the beginning of the fast? Maybe yes, maybe no. The Gemara defended. Maybe if the table's still out, maybe you can go on eating. And the other qualifier is, what if you go to sleep? So if you go to sleep now, has the fast formally began? So the Gemara suggests yes. The Gemara quoted a Braisa that says that even if you go to sleep, you wake up, you can eat. The Gemara deflected, and the Gemara said that, that's not talking about where he was actually sleeping. It was talking where he was dozing off. Okay? And as far as halach l'maisa, it's very practical. As far as halach l'maisa is concerned, so if you're going to any of these fast days that are starting in the morning of, so, and you want to wake up early, so you have to articulate, you have to say that when I'm going to sleep, I'm not accepting upon myself the fast, but you say that I plan on waking up tomorrow morning in order to have my coffee, or in my case, two coffees. Ah, okay, fine. That's so funny you say that. Okay. I'm Rav Kahana. Okay, stay tuned. I'm Rav Kahana, I'm Rav. Yachu Shekiba Olav Tanis, Asa Benila Sasando. Chayshin Hashem Atanis, Sibar Kiba Olav. Okay. So let's say an individual accepts upon himself a fast day. Okay, so this is a Tanis Yachid, right? Classic, right? What we've been discussing now the last couple of days. And what Rav Kahana says in the name of Rav is that he's not allowed to wear leather shoes. Not allowed to wear leather shoes. Not wearing leather shoes, that's only connected to a public fast day. And as we're going to soon learn enough, not even all of them, just, you know, but you're an individual fasting. Nila Sando, not wearing leather shoes. So the Gemara's explanation is Chayshim Hashem Matan Tzibar Kiba Alav. So the concern is the following. He accepted upon himself a fast. Okay, good. There are two categories of fasts. I'm simplifying right now, but that's fine. One category of fasting is what's called Tanis Yachid. Another category of fasting is what's called Tanis Sibur. What the Gemara now is entertaining is that when a person accepts upon himself a fast and does not qualify what kind of fast day it is, maybe he's accepting upon himself a Tanis Sibur. Now, obviously, as an individual, it's not a communal fast. But that's not the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point is that there is a category of Tanis Sibur. And remember, fasting is really just a neder. It's accepting upon yourself something. So maybe what you've accepted upon yourself is the category, the sug, of a Tanis Sibur. If that's in fact the case, then you can't wear leather shoes. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So you want to accept upon yourself, but you want to clarify. So what do? The answer is really simple. You clarify. But and that's exactly what the Gemara says. I'm a Rav Abba Shila Le'mahachi L'machar E'lefanecha B'tanis Yachid. All right, that's very simple. So you clarify what kind of tanis you want to be in. I'm a Rabban L'Rav Sheshes Haka Chazin and Rabban and the Mesayim and Mesayinayu V'asal Ebei Tanisa. The Gemara, there was a report given to Rav Sheshes, and that is that there was a collective group of rabbis who it was a public fast day, and they went to shul. And they were wearing leather shoes. So ikbid v'amr lehu. So Rav Sheshes was really upset with them. And he said to them, Adoma mecha nami acho, maybe you're eating as well, meaning that's highly inappropriate. Meaning the fact is that it is a public fast day and shouldn't be wearing leather shoes. Ba'ivarava ma'ile kimisaime apanasa. So the Gemara now is going to be telling us the practices of various samurayim as it related to whether or not, when you accept upon yourself a fast, are you bound even to the inuyim? Can you or can you not wear leather shoes? So Abaye and Rava took a middle position. I don't fully understand this. It's a full admission on my part. Where's the middle position? Meaning, either it is a public fast day or it's a private fast day. So I'm a little bit confused. But anyway, they took a middle position, and that is they wore shoes, but irregular shoes. Okay, you can see Rashi over here, who uses a French term to describe it. Tosfos over here describes it shoes without a sole. I don't know. Anyway, they wore irregular shoes. Let's just say it like that. Mareimar Marzucha Machafe Demina L'Smolo D'Smolo Lemina. So Mareimar Marzucha also took like some sort of middle position. They did wear shoes, but they wore it on the wrong foot. Rabban de Bei Ravashi Nafki Kerachayu. And finally, the rabbis from the Yeshiva Ravashi. So on these fast days, they would walk out with leather shoes. Why? Savriki Hadam or Shmuel? Because they subscribe to a statement made by Shmuel. When do we see this? Yesterday's daf. So good. So second day in a row. Ain Tanis Sibur b'Bava Ela Tisha B'Av Bavad. The only fast day that takes on the status of a Tanis Sibur in Bavel is only going to be Tisha B'Av. Oh, okay, fine. Which means that any other fast day, both quote unquote communal or and certainly those which are. Tanis Yachid, private, voluntary fast days. So they're never going to take on the status of a Tanis Sibur. They're never going to take on any of the Yinuyim. And so therefore, wearing leather shoes on any of these days is going to be no issue whatsoever. That's the Shita of Shmuel. Rav Ashi and his students took on that Shita of Shmuel. So a really major debate amongst the students of Rav against the position of Shmuel, that when a person takes on a Tanis Yachid and he does not specify, do we at least entertain the possibility that it may be a Tanis Sibur-like fast day? Rav says we have to be concerned, and Shmuel's of the position that there really is no concern for that. I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Okay, another halacha when it comes to fasting. Lova Adam Taniso U Poreya. So you could swap out fast days, meaning that you accepted upon yourself to fast one day. Now, it gets a little bit tricky. Let's say your neder actually was you accept upon yourself to fast tomorrow. So can you swap out that day? That's a little bit unclear. I know the Rishonim discuss it. I'm right now going to keep it nice and simple. You accept upon yourself to fast a day, a given day. And then you wake up one morning and you say to yourself, look, I have a Kabbalah, and you know what? Today's going to be the day. And lunchtime rolls around, and you're like, today's not going to be the day. So that's fine. And what the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, is you could swap out, right? Love uporea, literally borrow and pay back. So ki amri se kama dishmol amri li v'chi neder kabbala, de lo sagi de lo mishalem, litzur nafshe ki ba aleha. I matzi matzar nafshe, vi lo matzi lo matzar nafshe. Shmuel says, look, it's not a neder. what you accepted upon yourself was to be uncomfortable. Were you uncomfortable? Yeah, you were uncomfortable. Good. Check. Okay, so in this Lishna Kamen, this first version of the discussion, right, second version coming up momentarily. So in this first version, Shmuel is of the position that the neder that you made, so to say, was not for a full formal fast. It was just simply to make yourself uncomfortable. If you're in a state of discomfort, good, give yourself a check. Okay, now in version number two, so we start off with the same statement of Rav, which is that you could swap out. Meaning if you started the day fasting, trying to fulfill your Kabbalah, and around lunchtime you are now officially checking out, so you could just simply swap it out for another day. You'll pay back another day. So Ki Amrisa Kamen Shmuel. Now in version number two, Shmuel's response is going to be much different. Notably, Amrli Pshita. So his response is, yeah, that's obvious. Lo Yehi Ela Neder. Meaning, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a neder. So in version number two, Shmuel is clearly looking at this as a bona fide neder. But neder, milo matzibar, lishlomei meizalamacha, liyumachrina. But you know what the story with the neder is. So a neder does have to be paid, but you could pay another day. You don't have to pay today. You could pay tomorrow. You could pay the day after that. Yeah, I know we did the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah recently, right? There is an isser of Baal Te'acher, of delaying payment after a certain point in time, but that's yontifs, meaning that's a long time down the road. To delay it a day or two, and certainly a week, that's no problem whatsoever. And so Shmuel says the same thing as over here. So in version number two, Shmuel has a much different tune than Shmuel did in version number one. In version number two, Shmuel is in agreement with Rav. In fact, when he turns to Rav and he says, what you're saying is obvious, that the Kabbalah is like a neder, and therefore you can pay it back on another occasion. Rav Yeshua Bereid Ravidi Ikla Lebe Ravasi Avdule Igla Tilsa. So Rav Yeshua goes to the house or the yeshiva Ravasi, and what they did is they prepared for him Igla Tilsa. Igla Tilsa, it's good meat. Okay, the Rashi, not here, but Rashi, Igla Tilsa comes up numerous times throughout Chas, and Rashi gives two explanations of what it is. And so for our purposes right now, we could just simply say it's a really good piece of meat. Amrle lito marmidi. And now they invite him to go ahead and to eat. So Amrle betanisi asivna. So he says, oh, wow, it's really my bad luck. It happens to be that today I started fasting. So Amrle velozif bar velipare. So they say to him, okay, we got this great idea. Well, why don't you borrow against it and pay back later? All right, swap out days. So lo savar mar lahad amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav lo va'adam taniso porea, right? Don't you remember that we can do that? So amar lahu tanis chalam hu. So he says, yeah, you know what? In general, I do hold that you can do that. Happens to be that my fast today, it's a special fast, and that is it's a tanis chalam. Va'amar Rav abar mechasi amar Rav Chama bar Gurya amar Rav Yafa tanis lechalam keish lenaoris. So let's say you have a really bad dream. So you do what's called the Tanis Chalom. The Gemara mentions it a number of times, here being one of them, and that is that it's really effective at mitigating the dream. Okay, I can't explain it any better. I don't understand it any better. The point is that there is some bad, ill effect of a really bad dream, and it could be mitigated by fasting, but the fasting has to be done immediately, that day. And you can't do it another day. So basically his answer is, in general, I agree. You could push off a fast day, but not a Tanis Chalom. And the Gemara has one more comment. V'am Rav Chista uvo v'yom. Sorry, two more comments. So Rav Chista says it has to be done on that day. I gave that up already. I gave that information up already. V'am Rav Yosef v'afilu b'Shabbos. Now, Rachmanis, the person goes to sleep Friday night, wakes up Shabbos morning, sweating. He had a bad dream. So what do you do now? Meaning on one hand, Tanis Chalom. On the other hand, it's Shabbos. So the answer is yes. So and so what does that mean? How does that translate? So my takante, leisiv tanisa la tanisa. So on one hand, you're fasting because tanis chalom. On the other hand, to a certain degree, it was a, if I could say this in context, a slight violation of Shabbos. Okay, so now you slightly violated Shabbos, but for a good reason. Okay, the Gemara has constructs like this all the time, where basically you have two competing values. So over here, so what's going to happen now? So what's going to happen now is that you're going to fast because that's the right thing to do. On the other hand, you also offended Shabbos, so you're going to fast again for your, as a kapara for your offense to Shabbos. Okay. Mishnah. Okay, so if you recall now, let's go back to Daf Yud and just quickly recap. So it was the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. It has not yet rained. We've expected rain. We've expected it now basically since Sukkos, right? The formal petitioning of the rain, so it's going to start, well, there's a range of positions, either on the 3rd, the 7th, or the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. The halacha is the 7th, all right? Let's say the 7th. It was a formal petition. It's now the 17th of Mar Cheshvan and it hasn't rained. So we learn back on Daf Yud. So already now, we're not hitting the panic button, but concern. Yechidim are going to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. Okay. No rain has come yet. So we learned also in the previous Mishnah. Now we're going to institute the first round of public fast days. Tanit Sibur. Again, it's going to be 3. Again, it's going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. Okay. Nothing happened as of yet. That's where we are right now. That's what we're picking up in this Mishnah. Avru Elu Velo Nanu. These days now have gone by, and there's been no answer. So based in Gozman Gimel Taniyos Sacheros Salat Sibur. So now round 2 of 3 public fast days. So Ochlim Veshosim Mi Baod Yom. Now here it intensifies a number of ways. Number 1, this is going to be a full 25-hour fast day, right? From like Yom Kippur, like Tisha B'Av. That's number 1. And vasur b'malacha, you're not allowed to work. Uverichitza v'sicha v'nilas asando v'tashbe shamita. All the inuyim of Yom Kippur are going to be in force. V'no'al and samer chatzos, you lock up the bathhouses. Avro eilu v'lo nanu. Now these days have come and gone, and you haven't been answered. So we have gone now through 2 rounds of public fast days. Now what? So Basin goes in alein o shiva shehein yudgimel taniyos alat zibor. Basin now is going to institute another 7 days. Again, Monday, Thursday. Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. So another 7. And going to be now for a total of 13. 13 public fast days, right? 2 rounds of 3, 1 round of 7. That's 13 in total. Hare Elu Yisrael Salavi showed us now. What kind of intensification are we talking about? So over here, if you're reading the Mishnah carefully, which of course was what we're supposed to do. So if you're reading the Mishnah carefully, Hare Elu Yisrael Salavi showed us. What are we modifying over here? A little bit unclear. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to try to clean that up. So, Shebe Elam Atrim Benolan Esachanios. So that on these, again, it's unclear which ones we're actually modifying. Again, the Gemara is going to clean it up. So, but Matrian Benolan Esachanios. So, we're blowing shofar. We're closing the stores. Now, Bisheni, now there's still going to be a slight difference between Monday and Thursday. Bisheni Matin Im Chashecha. Now, on Monday, so as it starts to get dark and people do need to eat and people do need to buy food, so the stores can open up a little bit close to nightfall on Monday, meaning they were closed for most of Monday. And then v'chamisha, however, on Thursday, mutar mimnei kavod Shabbos. So there, even though in principle we would like to close the stores on that Thursday, but on the other hand, however, everyone's got to buy food for Shabbos. All right, so we'll keep it open for Shabbos. Avru elu v'lo nanu. Now, if these days have gone and we haven't been answered, so now we are now, unfortunately, past the 13 rounds of fasting. So, memata, memasa, vemata. So, at that point in time, so we're going to minimize the amount of commerce, bibinyan, minimizing construction, uvenetia, planting also is going to be curtailed, ube erisin uvenesuin, no engagements, no marriages. I use the word engagement. It's erisin. It's more than an engagement. Sheila shalom in adam lechavero. No greeting. Kivnei Adam and Azufa Lamakom. We have been excommunicated by Akash Baruch Hu, right? We've been censored. So Hayechidim Chosim and Masanim Ashiyetze Nisan. Now, no more public fast days, but individuals will continue fasting all the way up until Nisan. Yatsa Nisan V'yardu Gishamim Siman Klala. We made this point before. Here the Mishnah is telling us that if Nisan is passed and it rains, rain after Nisan, no good. So look at the Pesukim in context. It's clear that Shmuel is viewing rain that is coming down after Nisan as something which is unnatural, it's unusual, it's bad. Okay. Let's do a little bit of Gemara. Bishlam Akulu is Behutanug Rechitza Vesicha V'tash B'Shamita. So, certainly, in round number 2, there's the intensification. And I certainly understand how not bathing and the other inuyim, I understand how that's an intensification. Ava malacha tsarhu, but the Gemara says, but if part of the legislation of this round of fasting is that you're not allowed to work, okay. In other words, that's great news, right? And what the Gemara doesn't understand is, right, it doesn't seem to fit into the theme of the day. The theme of the day is we want to make people uncomfortable. And part of the discomfort is you don't have to go to work. Right, that's what bothers the Gemara. So, right. And some people like the work. I know a few of them. So I'm Rav Chista, I'm Rav Yirmi Abba Abba. So I'm a Kram, Kishutzam Kirat Sarah, Isvizakanim. So the Gemara basically says, look, in terms of Svara, you may be right, but we have a Pasuk. Pasuk in Yoel, right? Here in Tanis, we've been citing a lot from Sefer Yoel for good reason. Meaning, in Sefer Yoel, it's basically four parakim. It's all about fasting because, right, there was a famine. Locusts came and ate everything. Okay, so Kishutzam, right, sanctified as a fast day, Kiru Atzara, right, key in on the word Atzara, and Isva Zakenim, and gather the elders. So Ki Atzara, so over here in the Pasuk in Yoel, so a fast day, a proclaimed fast day is like Atzara. Now Atzara, it could either mean Shavuos, it could either mean Shmina Atzara, it don't matter because the point is still going to be the same. Ma Atzara Asar Basias Malacha, Avtanis Asar Basias Malacha. So just like on the Yontif, we're not doing work, so too on these fast days, you're not working as well. So Ima Atzeres Meorta, Aftanis Nami Meorsa. So the Gemara says, okay, but do you know that these Yontifs, you know when they start the night prior. Okay, so maybe the fast starts the night prior. So Am Rebbe Zera Lididim, Mefarshali Mined, Rebbe Yermia Bar Abba, Amakra, Isva Zakenim, Dumia Da Asifa Zakenim. No, go back to the Pasuk in Yoel, and it concurs, the Isser Asias Malacha is going to correlate with when the elders are gathering. When do they gather? Ma'asif and Zakenim Bayom? Aftsom Nami Bayom. Well, they gather during the day. Fasting is also going to be done during the day. The Ema Mitiara. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe the elders are coming sometime midday. Amar Rav Shisha, Bered Ravidi, Misayla Ravuna, Damar Mitzafria Kinufia. So the Gemara says, no, it does. No, they're assembling in the morning. So the assembling of the Zakenim are in the morning. So therefore, the Isser Malacha is going to be starting in the morning. Okay, so, and mind you, by the way, Tosfos makes the point really clear. In these intensified fast days, the Gemara not for a moment is entertaining that the eating starts in the morning, but the Mishnah says very clearly, the prohibition of eating already starts the night prior in these intensified fast days. It's just that as far as also the additional Isser Malacha, so that's going to be starting the morning of. Even though, this part is a little bit complicated. Even though, how do we get there? How do we get to an Isser Malacha? So we get there because of the Pasuk in Yoel. The Pasuk in Yoel is comparing the fast day to a Yontif. And so just like a Yontif, there's an Isser Malacha so too on the fast day. Well, then that should lead us to the conclusion the Isser Malacha should start the night prior. And meanwhile, the Isser Malacha starts the morning of. How did that work? So the Gemara says because in the Pasuk it also correlates with the Sifat Zakenim, which only occurs on the morning of. Okay. Admittedly, that part's a little bit complicated. Okay, we'll stop over here. Hechi Avid is where we're going to begin tomorrow morning. And let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, a number of statements by Rav Chista in the beginning of today's daf about qualifying Misan L'Shaos, that you're fasting half a day. So he threw in a bunch of qualifiers. With those qualifiers, you're basically fasting the whole day. And the whole Chiddush of Misan L'Shaos is that you were only intent on fasting half the day, but just it happened to be that you just didn't eat that morning. That's the qualifiers of Rav Chista. Included in that also is that there's no such thing as a fast day if it doesn't go and extend till Shkiyas Achama, till sunset. Number of challenges of Rav Chista, number of defenses of Rav Chista. A private fast day, Tanis Yachid, requires a Kabbalah. When? Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. That was the halfway point on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So Rav says that's Zman Mincha, and Shmuel says no, actual Mincha itself. This Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel manifests itself as possible readings of the Megillas Tanis, and that took us through the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. When you are taking on a Tanis Yachid, so you can eat all night up until the morning, the Gemara throw in two possible qualifiers. What if you had a really large meal the night prior and you completed that meal? Maybe that signifies the beginning of your fast. Maybe. Right, the Gemara wavered on that. What about if you went to sleep? Is that going to now signify the beginning of the fast? And again, the Gemara says, maybe. Right? The Braisa suggests it doesn't. Okay. The Gemara hedged on that as well. If you take upon yourself a fast, so you need to clarify that it's a Tanis Yachid, and you're not taking upon yourself a Tanis Sibur. Fast days outside of Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, are they ever going to take on the status of a Tanis Sibur? According to Shmuel, only Tisha B'Av, and that's it. No other fast day takes on the status of a Tanis Sibur. Therefore, if you accept upon yourself a Tanis Yachid in Bavel, so there are no Inuyim, right? You can wear leather shoes, good. And borrowing against a fast day, that was our nearly our last topic this morning. So if, let's say, I have Mekabel a fast day, and then it just happens to be that, right, that today I'm not feeling it, so you could just simply postpone the fast day, borrow it against another day, another upcoming day. So, right, Rav and Shmuel both discuss it, right? Two versions of what Shmuel said. In version number two, he agrees that you can do that. And then finally, before the Mishnah, we talked about Tanis Chalom. Tanis Chalom is somehow mitigates a really bad dream, but it has to be done immediately the day prior, even on Shabbos, even though you're offending Shabbos. And as a result of that, you're going to have to fast again for your offensive Shabbos. Okay, but that's Tanis Chalom. And then we started with the second rounds of fasting, meaning then we did the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. There are going to be now subsequent fasting if we are not responded with our original petitions, and that subsequent fasting is going to be a second round of 3 days, a third round of 7 days, and again, when I say 7 days, it's always going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, and then we also, the Mishnah describes that each round is also going to get intensified in terms of the duration of the fast, other Isurim that are going to be added to that fast as well, and then the Gemara, the last thing we did this morning was the Gemara that talked about what seems to be an added inui, but not much of an inui, and that is you're not allowed to work on these secondary fast days. And the Gemara says that's strange. Not working sounds like not an inui. It sounds like a tanug. Okay, so the Gemara's answer is that we have a pasuk in Yoel. Okay, adkan.